Well, good morning, everybody. It is so good to see you again. Welcome in to New Life Church on this first Sunday of the year. Just a quick reminder, if you missed it at the beginning, our children, our New Life kids, are going to actually remain in service with us today. But if you need to step out for any reason with them, to pile drive one of them or anything like that, I'm kidding, I'm teasing. If you need to step out for any reason, please make your way out. You will not disrupt anything. So we're grateful for today. I'm going to have a moment here in just a minute to share a brief word with you. And then, as we like to do at the beginning of each new year, we call it our New Year Prayer Blessing. This started probably about 12 or so years ago, just was birthed out of a service that we had on the first Sunday of the new year a dozen or so years ago, and just felt the impression to just take the ending of service and pray for every single person. And so I did. We did that, and that took a while, but it was amazing. And since then, the Lord has just continued to say, you need to keep doing this. And so that's what we're going to do here shortly, and I'm going to take time to pray for each one. Haley, myself, our staff, our ministry leaders are going to take time to pray for each and every single one of you in person. And so that'll happen here in just a little bit. But to help set that up, I want to turn our attention to the first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1. And the message of today's, the title of today's message is called Looking Forward, which is also a theme that the Lord has laid on my heart for my life, and I believe for us as a church, for this new year, looking forward. And the Psalms are so vital. They're written by a group of several different people, from Moses all the way to David. Their Psalms are broken down into five books, and they carry a lot of prayer, a lot of heart, a lot of soul. You know, when you hear a certain song from one of your favorite artists, and you know, man, they wrote that, and you can feel that. That's the Psalms. They wrote this, they prayed this, and you can feel this. And so I hope and pray you can feel what this one is all about today. This first Psalm is so vital. It's six verses, but it's power-packed. And it really helps not only lay out the course for a person's life, but it really helps us to kind of fine-tune our focus and our perspective and our view for this new year. And so I often come to this particular psalm annually, and so we're going to do that today. It's six verses. We've got 360 days ahead of us. This is day five. Out of the year, we've got 360 more days ahead of us to look ahead, to look forward to. And so this psalm helps us to help kind of determine how we're going to look forward in this new year with our life. So let's look at this. I've chosen the Passion Translation to go through today. We're just going to go through it verse by verse. Verse 1, the psalmist writes, "What delight," can you say delight? "What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways." That word delight has this meaning to it, a high degree of pleasure, of enjoyment, and satisfaction. And he says right off the bat, what delight, what high degree of enjoyment and pleasure and satisfaction does the one have who follows God's ways. So when we put Christ first and we keep him at the center of our life, that is the one whose delight is found in this world. Not in the world that of the system of this world, but in this life we are living. How do we find delight? How do we gain pleasure? How do we have enjoyment within our heart, soul, mind, and strength? How do we do that? It's found in choosing to follow God's ways. This year, will you let your enjoyment, will you let your pleasure, will you let your satisfaction, all the things we want and need in us, may they be found in Jesus? And will we let that be the case for us? It goes on to say, the one who delights, the one who finds their delight in following God's ways, it says this, in the second part of that verse. It says they won't walk in step with the wicked. They won't walk in step with the wicked. Who will you try to keep step with this year? Will you try to keep step with people you look around in your circle or in this world or in media, in the global perspective, or those that live next door to you or you go to school with or that you work with? Who will you try to keep step with this year? The word of wisdom tells us this in Proverbs 16:9, that we can make our plans, but it's God, our Lord, who determines our steps. Who will you let determine your steps this year? A prayer that I have often found myself praying on most mornings over the last year is something like this: God, I ask that you would order my steps and my thoughts today according to your will and your purpose. We can make plans, and it's good to have plans. We can make preparations, and it's good to have preparations, certainly. But really, it comes down to who orders our steps. Are we willing to let God order our steps and determine the direction in all things? And he goes on to say, the one who finds their delight in following God's ways, it says this: they will not share in the sinner's way. They will not share in the sinner's way. Who will you share your heart with this year? Who will you share your affection with this year? Who will you share your devotion with this year? The Lord tells us that the commandments are summed up in two: love the Lord your God with all. Can you say all? All. Last time I checked the definition of all, it meant everything. It meant all. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, we look for delight. We look for pleasure. We're looking for satisfaction. We're looking for enjoyment. And it comes first and foremost in through Christ, the one who follows God's ways. It says we won't walk in step with the wicked. We won't share in the sinner's way. And then it says this: nor will they be found sitting in the scorner's seat. Where will you sit this year? Will you sit in the seat of the scorner, the one who mocks, the one who treats others with contempt, the one who dishonors others? And then there's some more adjectives to describe this, that words we don't use too often, probably hardly ever. A word called deride, meaning to laugh at with contempt. And another word is jeer, means to jibe rudely with remarks at others. And it says those who find themselves wanting to follow the Lord, they find their delight in him, and they will not be found sitting in the scorner's seat. So we have a choice as to where our seat will be. David found out it's best to sit at the table God prepares for him. In Psalm 23, David knew what it was like to wander. David knew what it was like to be alone. David knew what it was like to face ridicule. David knew what it was like to not be picked. David knew what it was like to be overlooked. David knew what it was like to be the youngest. David knew what it was like in all of those different situations. And he said this of the Lord in Psalm 23:5, my shepherd, my Lord, prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That is the table that we are all invited to. God invites us all to sit at his table. God invites us all to partake of what he puts on the table. But it's up to us to pull up the seat and sit at the table. And so we have a choice in our life this year where we will find ourselves sitting. Will we find ourselves sitting more to the side, or will we find ourselves sitting more in the center with the people of God, with all of God and who he and what he has prepared for us? And see, when we're sitting at his table, we're sitting with what he prepares for us. We're sitting at what he has taken the time to dish out for you and me, and with the people that he calls us to in deep fellowship. David found that to be true in his life. He says, what delight, what deep satisfaction, enjoyment, pleasure comes to the one who follows God's ways. It says this in verse 2 about that person. It says, their passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. Their passion. When we make Christ the center, then it becomes our passion, our strong desire, our strong affection to want to remain true to the word of God. Now, obviously, we don't live perfectly by it. We don't live perfectly according to it. But it should be the desire, strong desire. The Hebrew here puts an emphasis on passion. Strong passion, strong affection, strong desire to want to remain true to God's word. Ultimately, we understand that because of Psalm 119:105 that tells us God's word is a lamp to our feet and it is a light unto our path. You see, God wants to take our life in a direction this year. God wants to take your life and your family in a certain direction this year. It starts with verse 1. Your delight, your pleasure, your enjoyment, your satisfaction that you want in life has to be first rooted and found. And it comes from God and God alone. And it's amazing how then God will help, will lead and will guide and will direct and order our steps. And he brings forth desires in our heart. But the desires are rooted in God's word. It says his passion, his strong desire and affection is to remain true to God's word. This year, will you ask God, if you don't feel that you may have it or you feel like, man, I need more of it, ask God to give you a greater passion for his word. Maybe you struggle sometimes getting into his word. Maybe you struggle reading his word. Maybe you struggle understanding his word. Ask the Lord. You'll be amazed if you just ask God, God, give me a greater desire to want to be in your word more this year. I have a good feeling he will answer that prayer. I have a good feeling he will answer that prayer. And you begin to find yourself waking up. You'll begin to find yourself throughout the day. You'll begin to find yourself throughout moments in your week. What does God's word have to say about this in my life right now? What is God trying to speak to me right now? What are you trying to show me right now? See, if we want guidance, we have to go to the guide. If we want direction, then we have to go to the roadmap. If we want to know where to go, how to, and at what pace, and what is in front of us, and how God wants to take us, we have to have a passion. And I ask, and may we all be in this place, God, give me more desire, give me more passion to read your word. A week from today, next Sunday, we will begin a church-wide 14-day prayer and fast. And we will be providing you with daily devotions over the course of those 14 days. Obviously, you don't have to read those, just like you don't have to read anything else. But it's our hope and our prayer that you will take time to read those. And they come with a prayer as well, and you'll be able to take those every day and kind of jumpstart your day, if you will, in God's word. Obviously, in today's world with technology at our fingertips, our smartphones have all of these other apps from people who have written devotions, and you pick a topic, and there they are in the YouVersion app. They're all around you. Every one of us has access to God's word, but it does us no good if it does not get in us. Amen. And so may we all pray for a greater desire, a passion for God's word. The result in verse 3 tells us those who find their delight in God and following God's ways, remaining true with passion to His Word. The result is this. It says they will be standing. I don't know about you, but by the end of the year, I want to be standing. I want to be standing. I don't want to be knocked out. We may get knocked down this year. You may get pushed over this year. But listen, it says the righteous continue to get back up time and time and time again. And I want to be standing. Paul tells us in Ephesians, having done all, stand. 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 It says that the ones who will be standing are the ones who find that their delight is in God's ways, and their strong passion and desire in this life is rooted in God's Word. And those are the ones, he says, will be standing. And how will you be standing? It says you'll be standing firm. You'll be standing firm like a flourishing tree. Be standing firm like a flourishing tree. In other words, you will have a life that is abundantly alive in Christ Jesus. My heart, my prayer, my desire, Haley prayed this at the beginning in the opening of the service, that God, we would experience revival this year. That we would experience revival. I've often discovered those who don't pray for revival don't experience it. We're praying for revival. We even sang a song this morning. God, revive us again. That is an abundant life that is fully alive in Christ Jesus. And that is a promise that Jesus gives himself in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us a life that is abundant. That is abundant. Able to still face what is in front of us. And that goes on to tell us this. We're planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss. Words we don't often use, bliss. Some of us, you might, your vocabulary might have room for that. I don't find myself often saying the word bliss. But it goes on to tell us that that is a life that is not easily swayed, but is well nourished. You can tell when you know you've been eating well, drinking well, dieting well. Christmas time's not for that. That's the time to enjoy all the baked goods and those Oreo balls Miss Jackie likes to make. If you've never had those, you should have your own communion time with those sometime. Those are really good. Those are super good. And if you start getting orders for those, then you might have a side job waiting for you there, Jackie. Anyways, you can tell when things are healthy and when things are not. And this tells us that we can be deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, not easily swayed, but well nourished based on what we're feeding on. And that is a stem of God's Word. And it also says this, he goes on to tell us the result of that, that you're bearing fruit in every season of life, that you're able to thrive no matter what. Come on, who wants to be that person? You want to thrive no matter what. What? I know that's a whole lot easier said than done, but these psalms were not written by people who were untouchable. These people that wrote these and prayed these, they lived this stuff. They knew what it meant to be high on the mountaintop and low in the valley. They knew what it meant to be victorious and to experience defeat. They knew what it was like to go high and low. And here it tells us that, man, the result of the one who finds their life delighting in God with a passion for His Word finds himself bearing fruit in every season of life, able to thrive no matter what. No matter what. I want to be that. That's an every year goal. It's an every year prayer, because we don't know what lies ahead over the next 360 days. A lot of us have some plans. A lot of us, some of you probably already have trips planned. Some of you, your kids are graduating this year and you're moving on to college. Some of us just took kids back to college, or you're about to go back to college. And that, I don't know, that's tough as a first timer experiencing that. That's a challenge, right? That is a challenge. Some just took back to the airport this morning to fly back. Man, we have all these dreams and these thoughts and these plans. And right here in Psalm 1, to start the new year, we're told, listen, we can make it. We can thrive. We can bear fruit in every season. And he goes on and says this. It says, they're never dry, they're never fainting, they are ever blessed and ever prosperous. Spirit, soul, and body. Not just monetarily, but spirit, soul, and body. We are ever blessed and ever prosperous within and without. The contrast here, coming down for the home stretch. The contrast says, but how different are the wicked? And here you can say, when you see that, you can see the contrast is those who find their delight in God's ways, strong passion for God's word, those who don't. But how different are those who don't? The wicked, they are like chaff blown away by the wind. The wicked will not endure the day of judgment, for God will not defend them. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long, for they have no part with those who walk in truth. You see, those who do not put Christ first, they still can have some success and some enjoyment in life. But remember, it never lasts forever. That's why we cannot be found chasing the temporary passing pleasures of this life, because we are pilgrims traveling through this world, through this one life that we've been given to live. I didn't plan to say anything about this, but it comes to my heart and mind, I may say it. We have outside elders of our in our church who help encourage us, pray for us, support us. Pastors Rick and Susan Bennett, they were my youth pastors growing up, my only youth pastors. If you don't know, Pastor Susan passed away on the 31st from a health battle, and she was 70. Lots of people have been writing lots of things about her, good things, and sharing their thoughts and their memories. Almost every single one that I've read so far has said something similar to the fact that she was a life changer, that she lived giving her whole self to helping other people find themselves in Christ, their calling, their purpose, their identity, and succeeding in whatever God had called them to do with their life. Certainly, I would not be a person here today before you if I didn't have the likes of her in my life. Over 33 years I've known her. But she lived this way. She lived not holding on to this world. She lived letting things come through her hands as a conduit and always sharing. Man, she was always sharing, always giving to people. Let people stay in their home, let people live with them, feed them. I've told you, I couldn't count the amount of times I've been fed by them. It's just insane that I couldn't afford to eat out as much as they took me out. It was crazy. They always made sure I had food. They always made sure she did, always made sure she knew she was proud of me. And she lived her life that way. Now, I don't like it that she passed at 70. I think that stinks. But she lived open-handed, not holding on to the things of this world, but freely giving to others. Her legacy will live on through generations. Because Jesus told us in his Sermon on the Mount, it's recorded in Matthew 6. He says, look, don't live to store up things on this earth, treasures on earth where moths eat them, rust destroys them, and where thieves break in to steal. So it was, no, go on and live your life like this. Live your life to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all this other stuff will be added into your life as you need it. The Father has a way to take care of you. So don't live like this. If you live like this and you have, I challenge you this year, start opening your hand a little bit more. Don't be afraid to let go. Don't be afraid, because you'll be surprised at how much God can put back into you. And the contrast, it ends in verse 6. He says, look how different it is for the righteous. You circle that and go back to verse 1. That's identified as those who find their delight that comes from God and his ways and his word. So it's different for the righteous. It says the Lord actually embraces their paths as they move forward. See, the righteous, God always calls us up, calls us out, and calls us forward. That is the kingdom of God. Calls us out from this world to be separate and not like this world. Calls us up from our graves. Calls us up from the devastation. Calls us up from our grief. Calls us up from the strongholds and generational curses. Calls us up to be free. And he calls us to go forward with our life to make a difference for him and his name and his glory. And he says it's different for those that live that way. It's different. It's different for the righteous. The Lord embraces their path. The Lord is right there in the midst of their life. The Lord is in the center. The Lord is right there with them. The Lord embraces them. If you need the reassurance that it is God with me today and this year, then yes, all you have to do is acknowledge him and say yes to him, and he will embrace you as you move forward. You see, the difference is that with God, he's with those who put him first and keep him center. While the way of the wicked, those who don't, leads only to doom. There's a man in the New Testament, I'll end with this, we know him as Apostle Paul. Before that, he was Saul. And the Apostle Paul lived to learn that it's only with God's hand, only by God's grace, that he could ever truly experience the kind of life he lived by not being held down by his past. I don't know what kind of past everybody has, but in Jesus, you don't have to be held down by it. You don't have to be held down by it. Look, I know the calendar changed. The year has changed. Your life can change. Your life can totally change this year. Maybe you're living with some hesitation or reservation. Maybe you're still wanting to be in the driver's seat a little bit too much. Maybe you're afraid to advance, because you might feel like you don't deserve a second chance. You may feel like you don't deserve the goodness of God in your life because of what your past holds. The Apostle Paul lived to learn that, man, if it's only by God's grace that enabled him to move forward and not be held down by his past. He didn't rely on his achievements or his academia to sustain him. If there's ever a person in the New Testament who had some accomplishments and some achievements for the kingdom of God, man, it was Paul. That joker was a bad dude, and in the sense of good. Like, he could go. Like, he knew what he was talking about. He could cast out demons, man. The joker could get bit by a poisonous snake and pull it off and be like, shake it off. Like, it didn't faze him. He knew what it was like to be shipwrecked. He knew what it was like to be starving halfway to death. He knew what it was like to be halfway clothed. He knew what it was like to be homeless on an island. He knew what it was like to experience all kinds of beatings and jailings and stonings and all of those things. And man, the guy kept going. If there was any, he didn't rely on his achievements or even his academia to give him the satisfaction in this life. He had it, but that's not what he lived for. He didn't even allow his religious training to make him superior to others. If there was ever a religious zealot who could, Paul was it. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. If there was ever a person who could rely on his religious training and background to be superior to others. Now, at first he did, but that was before Jesus. And then Jesus came and humbled him so much that Paul's like, yeah, that was so wrong of me. He didn't rely on that to make him superior to others. In fact, he used it to serve others, to help others rise up and experience the life-giving change that is found in Jesus. And it led him to say this late in his life. It's recorded in Philippians 3. Let's look at it, verse 13. He says this, no, listen to who he's talking to. Dear brothers and sisters. Personal. He said, I have not achieved it. I know you know a whole lot about me. And there's a big wake behind me of where God has brought me and what he's done with my life. He said, I have not arrived to perfection. He said, this is what I do. I focus on this one thing. I have to keep forgetting the past. Can't rely on it. Can't let it haunt me, and I can't let it help me. I have to forget it. Because here's the thing. I must keep looking forward to what lies ahead. This year, we start a brand new year. I want to encourage you with all that is within me, if I could, deep down from within, let's look forward this year. Let's not look back. Let's not look through rearview mirrors. I mean, you do when you drive, but you get what I'm saying spiritually. You just never know. How'd you get in the wreck? Well, I wasn't looking in my rearview mirror. Pastor said not to. Don't do that, especially if you're just starting out to drive. Okay, use the mirrors. Do a double check, all right? Anyway, I digress. With all that is within us this year, church, let's look forward to what lies ahead. I believe God wants to pull so many of us out of our mire and our muck that we have been in, our despair, our grumble, frustrating selves. Whatever it is that is not to our liking, God wants us to be able to look forward to what he has planned for us in this new year. Let me invite you to stand. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I invite our ministry leaders to come forward. And when I pray here in a moment, I'd like to just ask you to just agree with this prayer. I'm not going to pray a prayer that's tricking anybody, but I'll pray it for us to lay our faith on, to attach our faith to, for what we desire for God and from God. And then after I pray, our ministry leaders will be here at the front. And I'd like to invite all of you forward who would like to receive prayer this year for this new year. Our ministry leaders will all be here to pray for you, okay? And to lay hands on you and pray for you. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And as we start this new year, Father, we humble ourselves before you. And we ask you to forgive us where we've sidestepped, where we've strayed, where we might have just been stubborn. Forgive us, O Lord, of our sins. Today we put you first, and we desire this year to keep you center. I ask you, Father, that you would order our steps according to your will and your ways. May our heart give you room for all of our devotion. We will sit at your table and enjoy what you prepare before us. We choose to walk on your path this year, believing that you will walk with us. We choose to remain true to your word, knowing that you will remain true to us. Today, we choose to stay planted. We want to be planted where you have us, believing that you will cause us to prosper, spirit, soul, and body. We choose to move forward your way, walking and living in your blessing under your gracious hand. And so now I ask, may your gracious hand be firmly fixed upon all of us today in our household in this year as we choose to serve you. We acknowledge you as our shepherd. We shall not want. You are our God and no one else. We belong to you. We are marked by Jesus because, Jesus, you are our Savior. And it's unto you that we yield our life and this year unto you. We pray these today and ask you to do it all in our hearts and souls and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.